broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, everywhere. What do we do when we go anywhere and everywhere?
Other talk shows.
We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we go out on point, and sometimes we get shot, and sometimes we get killed. But we go out there. Anyway, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and there are reasons for that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. We're going to have Mr. Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy on with us in our first hour to talk about the Oakland protests, Occupy Oakland, and again, something we're interested in this show, which is how do teachers, how do the educators of America, how do they discuss these things with their students? I think that current events, especially with high school students, obviously is extremely important to discuss. And what's going on in the classrooms of America when we look at... I remember when I was in high school...
Here we go.
I'm going to talk about my time in high school. What's here we go mean?
Well, I mean, you're not going to do a long-winded thing, are you?
Who cares if it's long-winded? Do you mind if I... What is it with you guys all of a sudden? You know, I'm talking about who we're going to have on the show, and here we go.
Boy, you're not giving a speech, are you?
What am I doing here?
I mean, you're doing a talk show.
I'm doing a talk show. So what are you doing a talk show?
You talk.
You talk.
Yeah, but you talk too much.
Get out of here. Talk too much. Funny man. When I was in high school, I was about to say, there was quite a bit happening in the country. We had the Vietnam War. We had the campus protests had just blown open big time. Columbia University, Kent State happened. I remember my senior year in high school, that happened. And a lot of stuff. And then the civil rights movement, that too had morphed and exploded into a great deal of civil violence in the cities. The country was in great distress, I remember, as a high school student. And it's funny, when you're young, and maybe this is the good thing about, one of the good things about being young is it's all just sort of interesting and fascinating, but you're not really sweating it. I mean, I don't ever remember worrying about the future of the country. I always felt, well, it's just kind of America, you know, and here I am, and I'm a kid, and this is great, and woo, you know. So with that as a context... Tonight we're going to have Mr. Vernon Dozier on. We'll see if there's if our high school students today feel the same way. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let me get over here to Chris. Did we get our affiliate spotlight tonight, Chris? Where's that at, man? What happened to it? I came in here and I don't see anything. All right, no affiliate spotlight. No, I think I. Uh-huh. You just sent it now. That's great. So we have Orlando, WEUS, and Tucson, KJLL. And as far as our free month goes, I want to remind you that you can go over to our website and take a look at our website, first off and foremost, and look at all the things we have to offer at philhendryshow.com. But if you want to qualify for a free month of the Phil Hendry website, get a free month of a backstage pass, there are two things you can do and be eligible for our drawing, which will happen at the end of the month. And that is go over to our fan page, Phil Hendry. You go to facebook.com/Phil Hendry fans, P-H-A-N-S, facebook.com/Phil Hendry fans, and like the page. Now, if you've already done that, if you did that before we had the contest, you can go over to Twitter and go to twitter.com/Phil Hendry show and hashtag PHS at twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show and be eligible for the drawing of a free month of Phil at the end of October for the month of November. In addition to that, if you want to listen to the Phil Hendry Show for free, that's right, on our website as a podcast, you can go over it's not a podcast, it's the streaming version of our show. You can go over the next day at philhendryshow.com and listen to a commercial-free stream of our show from the previous night for free. It is not a download, but it is a sample of what you can hear if you have a backstage pass. So it's all over there at philhenryshow.com. Please do join us for that. We think you will enjoy it, and we work very hard to bring all of the fine entertainment to you. Vernon Dozier on the line from Glendale, California, the senior class advisor there at Belmar Academy. He's also government and civic affairs teacher. He's the varsity football coach over there and is a member of the board at Belmar Academy. Coach, you're a busy man.
But I do it. It's a labor of love, Phil, so I enjoy it very much.
How long have you been there?
This will be my 21st year.
21 years. You've been the head football coach there, as well as a senior class and junior class advisor, as well as a member of the board. So you know that campus and you know that community very well.
I think I do. We've had so many great kids come through our school. We've had so many great families that have been a part of our school, and I've gotten to know all of them through the years. We've seen our young people grow up. Some of them go on to become quite successful in the field that they tackle, some becoming quite prominent. We had a number of our young people from our football program go on to coach. A couple of them actually made it onto Division I college football, and one or two, I think, of our young people have made it as far as the National Football League or Canadian Football League. And so we're very proud of our program, whether it be our academia or our sports programs, our athletic program. We're very proud of it.
Now, you have in recent days been talking with your class about the Occupy Wall Street movement, correct?
I have, yes.
Okay, tell me what shape, what form, what kinds of discussions you have had. And these are seniors?
They're both our seniors and our juniors, yeah.
And what is the name of the class?
Well, we have a couple. We have our government affairs government. We have current affairs. Civics, which is civics, is really just the application of government, the application of government and community life, the current affairs and current events, and also in our social events class, we take up quite a bit of this.
You don't have anything at a high school level like political science, do you?
Well, we don't call it political science per se, but we do have some. Introductory lessons and instruction in political science for some of our seniors, because we do have a two-track program. But we have talked about this as a current event, as a social event, in both our junior and our senior classes.
How has that been going?
Well, I've taken a particular interest in it because this is an area that has just interested me as a citizen. And I think as a teacher, you do the same thing you might do as a talk show host. You bring your class issues that you find personally fascinating, and you try to talk to your class about those issues that you find personally fascinating. But fortunately for me, this is not just something that I find personally fascinating. It's also something that's been happening in our news.
And how has that gone? Have you taught, you know, are students offering opinions?
Well, they are offering their opinions. There are, I would say, a lot of them have, I don't know, they've been seduced a little bit by this message that they've been seduced a little bit by this message of egalitarian economies and this kind of thing, and I think that's what happens to young people. It's my job, I think, to point them in the direction of reality. One of the areas that has been disappointing to me is something that I've talked with you about before, Phil, and I talked to my students about it. Either you're going to pay attention to me in class, which is what I tell my students, or you're going to go home to your parents and you're going to pay attention to them. And I'm not saying you shouldn't pay attention to your parents, but when it comes to matters such as these, are you going to listen to me, or are you going to go home and check it out with your father? Are you going to listen to me, or are you going to go home and double check it with your mother? Are you going to give me the respect that I deserve as a college-educated high school teacher, or are you going to go home and sort of huddle with your parents and laugh about the whole thing?
This is something you're dealing with, or
this is something I've dealt with. I think I've talked with you on the program about it before, and it's something that I continue to deal with. Either you're going to sit down and you're going to get the lesson from me, or you want to go home and chuckle about it with your parents. So,
what does that mean? Chuckle about it?
Well, I told just what I said. You know?
Well, what are you telling the kids that they're going to go home to their parents and discuss this? Obviously, these are news events, right?
Yeah, they're news events that you're going to talk about with your parents, but you're not going to go to your parents and say, by the way, Mr. Dozier said this, and isn't he funny? Ha ha, or whatever you're doing, you know, and the parents are saying, yeah, you know, don't pay any attention. Let me tell you, Phil, as it pertains to Occupy Oakland, that they just had the demonstrations here broken up yesterday by Oakland police. And I have watched that situation just like I watched the situation in New York and just like I watched the situation in other cities. And I've watched that situation go from a normal, average protest to a confrontational type of situation, to a bunch of people now sitting on the streets and sitting on a curb, using the street as a toilet, using the gutters as a toilet, causing problems, criminal problems, the police, so forth, the neighborhood getting revolted by their actions, and this goes on and on and on. Now, you'd think that after a while, people would have the common courtesy and the common decency not to use the very streets that we drive on, the streets we walk on, the streets that we may push a baby carriage on. You'd think that knowing that, they'd have the common decency not to use that same street as a latrine or a toilet into which they do their daily business. But that's what they're doing. That's disgusting to me as a citizen. And when the Oakland police acted, and act they did, by bringing in riot police, using these beanbag guns, using, in other words, what they had at their disposal. I got to tell you, Phil, I was relieved. I felt a physical release. I sat in front of my television. I told my students this, and this is what you do when you're talking about community events and civic affairs and however you want to call it. You tell them, this is how I was affected by the news. How are you affected by the news? And I told them, I said, when I saw the Oakland police come in and really, really go to work on some of these demonstrators and get them, just clean it up, almost like a fresh snow or fresh rain had fallen and blew all of this filth. And I don't like to refer to human beings that way, but when you are causing criminal problems and you are using the street as a septic tank, as a place where it's just a hole in a slat of wood, then I think all bets are off, and I think you're going to get what you deserve.
All right, I want to ask you some questions. Our number is 877-876-PHIL with Vernon Dozier, 877-876-7445. Vernon Dozier on the line with us here from Belmar Academy. One final question before the break. You said it was a physical release that you shared with the students?
No, I did not. I said that I told my students, when I saw the police come in with the fire hoses and come in with the beanbag, not the fire hose, the beanbags, and use these sweep and move and sweet grunt move. They call it a sweet grunt because they grunt as they march. If you've ever heard the riot police, they go, like that.
And, yeah, I've heard that.
All right, so when they move that sweep and grunt, I could feel myself relaxing. I could feel myself the tension because I was so wound up by this rabble that had been taking over the streets and turning them into someone's bathroom. There's nothing that disgusts me more. Now, when these kids go home and tell their parents that this is what Mr. Dozier was talking about in class, and the parents call me and say, I don't like you talking that way, they've completely missed the point. They have retensed me. I'd lost my tension, and they call me back, and now I'm tensed up again.
And all right, hold on for a second, Vernon. I want to get back to you.
Certainly.
And you folks at home, 877-876-PHIL. Okay, so Vernon Dozier is a civic affairs teacher at Belmar High School, talking about Occupy Oakland, and basically told the kids there that the police action in cleaning up the streets was something that he welcomed. He was relaxed by it. The kids went home, told their parents, and there's some conflict there. We're going to get more into this discussion on how he communicates with his students and how you may communicate with your young people or vice versa on The Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. The world. world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me, Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Occupy Oakland was a big story overnight. Yesterday, Oakland police went in and, I guess as you put it, Vernon, cleaned things up. I'm still looking for the story here. I know I have it, but I've got it buried somewhere.
I've got to tell you, Phil, I bought the usually buy the newspapers in the morning for the class, and I know I had it for my class today.
Did you talk about this today with the students?
We did talk about it today, and I got phone calls after a couple hours after class, because I am generally there, the teacher lounge or in the administration building. We're either doing these days. What we do is we will set up our modular schedule for the seniors and juniors. We can oftentimes correct papers using computer software that we have, but I had to go to the administration building to get it, and that's when I got some of these phone calls.
And can you give me an example of some of the phone calls you got?
Well, one woman in particular who I get calls from a lot, her name is, I forget her last name.
It's not necessary to use names. It's probably preferable that you not use them.
All right, well, it's one mother who I get a call from her at least once a week, and she's got a new problem every week. And this new problem she had now is she didn't like me saying that I had a good release. Now, let me explain that, because I know you took exception to it, Phil.
Well, it's not exception. It's an unusual way to describe a news event. You know,
I don't know what's unusual about it. You know?
Well, when you say that you saw the police move in with beanbags and you saw the cops break up this demonstration, you felt relaxed?
Yes, sir. I felt a release of tension. I don't think it's unusual to say that the release of the tension is very, you know, it's very palpable. Because I'm looking at...
In other words, there was a lot of fear that the situation was going to get out of control.
I wouldn't call it fear. I would call it more rising anger that I had. I think in that sense I'm more in tune with the American people than, for instance, this mother who called me and made some pretty, some very scurrilous accusations that she said to me. I'm not even going to repeat what she said, because it sounds to me like she come up with some of this because it gives to, that's how she probably, you know, gets her kicks. But I said to the students, when I saw the police go in and I saw a few of them pull out their nightsticks, and when I saw the nightsticks come out and I saw them pull out the riot guns with the beanbags, I did feel myself go, it's just a nice, just if I could give it a sound, it would be like, you know. And
what? Okay.
Well, what is the problem that you're having with this?
Well, when you say you see a guy pull out a nightstick and another guy with a beanbag riot gun, and you go,
No, sir, it is not like that. And I know exactly where you're going with that, Phil, and it's not like that at all. And
well, I'm trying to, did you say this to this mother?
What, the woman that called up?
Yes, sir.
I don't know what I said to her. She, as I said, I get a call from her once a week. She's bothering me about something. And she said, did you tell my daughter? And I said, I didn't tell your daughter anything. I told my students this. Your daughter must have been one of them. And I said, when I saw those people who had been using the street as a toilet, finally getting moved off the street by the police, as well they should have, I felt myself relaxing into it. Almost, I said that, yes, there's a natural kind of a hip motion. Your hip moves out. If I could describe it, you sort of just go, yeah, you know. But I wasn't saying it like it's sex. Now, this mother got on the phone with Bill Hartcast, who is our principal, our assistant principal, and said that I had said something to her along the lines of, and forgive me for saying this, Phil, but this is this woman, and this is what's wrong with our parents today, to use these words. She said it sounded like I had a spontaneous emission. And
oh, my God. What is it? What's the disconnect here, Vernon? If we can cut through all of the horse dung.
I'm not giving you any horse. I'm not giving you horse dung.
No, I know you're not, but if we can cut through, in other words, what is the disconnect here? You're telling your students that you saw the police move in on the Oakland demonstrators and you felt good about it, I guess is what you're saying.
I felt not more than good. I was getting angry. I wanted to drive there myself. In other words, I was trying to tell my students that I'm a typical adult American taxpaying voter. And if you kids, meaning my students, if you don't feel this way, there's something, by the time you're an adult, there's something seriously wrong with you.
And, well, that's why the woman called.
Oh, I have no doubt. She probably thought that I was being very, saying that her daughter was had a mental problem because she didn't want to, you know, when she seen these cops go in there and just take these demonstrators out, and I wanted to see one of those battering ram tanks, if you've ever seen the SWAT teams. That's what I wanted to see. I was so sick and tired of looking at these people. And I told this mother in candor, and I should never have done it, but I said, I just looked at that and I went, yeah, like that. And she was very insulting. And
hold on, Vernon. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier as we talk about Occupy Oakland and what he said to his students today
Phil
in school.
Henry.
Yeah.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy about Occupy Oakland. The police moved in yesterday, and they got the demonstrators out of there with tear gas, with bean bags, with just about anything at the disposal of the police to put down an unlawful assembly. The news is that the neighborhood was complaining about this so-called Occupy Oakland demonstration, that there had been some criminality, that there had been unsanitary conditions and so forth. And on the line with us is Vernon Dozier. He's talking to his students about this. And interestingly enough, he's been getting pushback from some of the parents on how he has communicated his feelings about Occupy Oakland to his students. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And a reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, our website. With a backstage pass, you get live streaming video of our show. You get thousands of hours of archived material, downloads. All of it is being turned into downloads as we speak. And it is the single largest library and archive of one radio show anywhere in the world, and most probably in history. It goes back 15 years of radio material, and it's grade-A stuff. So join us at philhenryshow.com, and we're giving away a free month as well to one lucky listener. We're going to have a drawing at the end of our month. Vernon, thank you, and we're back. And all right, so I forget where we left off, but I was asking you, I think, about the reaction of parents and your own reaction, which was, would you agree that the way you described your reaction was, and just to reset.
If you don't mind, Phil, I'd like to reset it if that's what you wanted to do. It.
Go ahead.
Because I think that what happened was is I said to this mother of this girl, and I'll tell you what their name is, Cassidy. That's the, I won't give any first names, but the last name this woman Cassidy calls me, and she said that my daughter said that in class today you said, number one, you are the one that gives the word, and when they go home to their parents, you know, there's a loyalty problem. She said they should be loyal to me. I'm the mother. And I said, well, yes, of course you should. But when it comes to information about history and news, obviously, if the choice is between you, Mrs. Cassidy, and me, I think that's a no-brainer. They got to rely on me. And she said, why do you say that? I said, because I'm the teacher. I said, and you are, and I'd spoken to this woman. I know who she is, and I like her. But I told her, I was blunt. I said, you are not, you know, I just said she'd have to rely on me because you know.
What did you say to her?
Well, I told her, I said, you know, when it comes to these, when it comes to these matters, Mrs. Cassidy, I said, you just aren't that clued in. You know, I probably was a little bit, I wasn't quite that refined, you know.
You're not clued in.
I told her, I said, you're not that bright. I said, and she got all upset when I said that. I said, well, your husband, I've talked to your husband, and he's told me how, and I probably shouldn't have done that, but
So in other words, you made it worse.
How did I make it worse?
Because you're saying, Mrs. Cassidy, you know, this and that.
Well, you wanted to talk about this lady. I didn't want to bring her up.
You brought up this woman.
I understand that, sir, but I didn't want to make an issue out of how stupid this one woman is. You know,
Well, you say to her and your husband thinks you're not bright?
I I told her, I said, Miss Cassidy, your own husband, got the name of William, which I guess I just gave away the name.
Yeah, you did.
All right, but you're telling me this man, I said, your own husband said you're not all that bright. And I got to agree. And I said, you know, I said, when I saw the tear gas come out, I felt a physical relaxation because I was very angry. And I went, ah, like that. And she said, well, that sounds to me like you just got your cookies or some disgusting term like that. And I said, how dare you? And that's when I hung up on her. And
oh, God. This is an adult conversation.
I didn't. She said to me, when she goes, did you go, ah, I said, no, I didn't do that. She exaggerated it. Because I said to her, when I saw the tear gas come out and I saw a lot of those hippies taking a nightstick, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I saw one police officer grabbing a hippie by the hair. And I thought the tension release, seeing that alone, almost, I just felt good because for once, a hippie is standing and he's, one minute he's going to the bathroom on the street, the next minute there's a cop with a handful of his hair. And boy, I'll tell you, if it had been me,
If it had been you, what? The guy wouldn't have survived?
Well, if you got a hippie in your left hand and you got a PR-24 in your right, what's the next natural move to make?
I guess swing that PR-24 right into that hippie's head.
You said it, I didn't. You said it.
No, that's what you wanted me to say.
Yes, I did, but, in all honesty...
That's what you wanted me to say.
Yes, I did. Absolutely. If you got a hippie by the hair in your left hand and you got a PR-24 in your right hand, the next logical, honest move to make is to swing that PR-24 with all your might almost through the hippie's head. There, I said it. And I said it to Mrs. Cassidy. I said it to the class. And now I'm saying it to you. And if that makes me a bad man, if that makes me a guy...
Well, it may be... That alone is a very violent image. And
I understand that.
But to follow it up with,
What? What did you just say?
Isn't that what you just told me you did?
I didn't go, I said... To the woman, Cassidy, I said to my class that it was almost a... I said there was a hip thrust and a, like that. I didn't go,
Well, I don't know the difference, sir. And the hip thrust thing puts it all into that sexual light that the lady was talking about.
It's impossible, Mr. Henry, to get through to this woman, and I'm finding increasingly impossible to get through to you. There's nothing sexual about that.
And what do you mean, the hip thrust?
It's involuntary. When you see something that makes you glad you're alive. And yes, when I saw that hippie get grabbed by his hair and I saw that cop drive that PR-24 through the head, he didn't go through the head, but that's what you, I coach baseball and we always tell them, make sure you go through the swing. And that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, I don't want to...
Well, that's great. So, in other words, we're taking batting practice and hitting people with PR-24s.
You asked me a question, sir. All right, and when I see that happen, it gives me joy, and the hip thrusts automatically. It's involuntary. It is.
I've never heard of such a thing. 877-876-PHIL.
Hold on, are you going to cut me off, give your phone number, and that's it? Because I'm telling you, I did.
And you're telling me you have an involuntary hip thrust when you feel happy to be alive?
Yes, sir. Is that what are you talking about?
When you feel happy to be alive, you hunch your hips forward?
Are you trying to make me ashamed that I'm a man?
No, I'm not trying to do anything of the sort.
Because what I said to you was a normal thing. It had nothing to do with sex. I said to this woman, Cassidy, all right, since I gave her husband's name, I'll give her name. Eleanor Cassidy's her name, okay? So now we know who the family is. You wanted a name.
I didn't tell you to... No, I did not tell you anything of the sort. You've given the husband's name and now the wife's name.
All right, well, I'm just telling you now. She said to me that I had been sexual. I said, no, I hadn't. I didn't go, I said I went, and I hunched my hips forward. And that's when she said something. She said she felt fondled or she felt telephonically fondled or something and hung the phone up. And
telephonically fondled, that's...
You call her up. That's what she said to me. She said, I said, do you feel harassed? She said, yes, I do now feel harassed when you went, And I said, no, I didn't. I said, I went, and I hunched my hips. She said, no, you went, And she said she now felt fondled. and she was going to get on the phone with our assistant principal, who's I just got off the phone with, who told me that she's full of crap, that I'm fine, she's a mental case, and but he did say not to do what I did, which he called an it sounded like an exclamatory, passionate expression that he would not have used with one of the
parents.
With one of the parents, yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Henry Show. I'm going to go to Father James McQuarters, who's on the line. And Father McQuarters is at Belmar Academy, one of the diocesan priests there. Father McQuarters.
Yes, Phil.
I have on the line here Coach Dozier.
Yes, I've been listening.
Father, good evening. I didn't know that you were going to be on the phone. I have, I'm talking to Mr. Henry about something completely different now.
Well, I don't think so. Vernon, I called up the radio station. I got the backline number.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to tell Phil that we had not approved of the method he'd used. I said I didn't mind you talking. I didn't mind that you said what you said about the police officer. But I did mind when you said that you went, or you made this sort of quasi-sexual sound. Because I find it to be, I think it steps over the line. I know Mr. Dozier is a great teacher, Phil, and he is a very verbal man. He's also a very visual man. He gives great many demonstrations and a great many, I guess I would say, Vernon, that you like to act out.
Well, no, what I call it is I give a theatrical history lesson. I do move around the classroom quite a bit, yes.
All right. But the problem I've got is, but I did speak with Eleanor Cassidy, and...
You understand that she's a liar.
No, hold on, please. Hold on, because I know that we're on the radio now. And so everything that we say is going to reflect on our school.
Yes, sir.
And everything that we say could very well reflect on the kind of men that you and I are.
Now, you got your TV on, and I can't...
Father Staley, turn it down. Please turn that down, Father Staley. Please. Please, I'm trying to help the school. Now, Vernon and Phil, are you there?
I'm here, Father, yeah.
All right. What Mr. Dozier done in the history class, I think is an example of a teacher trying to be relevant, and I certainly understand. When he said that he had a physical feeling of satisfaction and release, and felt from within himself and perhaps even deep within his loins, the release that one feels when one feels that art has been restored to the society.
Father, I never said anything about my loins.
Well, then, I don't know what you mean. I heard you say to Mr. Henry...
You said a hip thrust.
I said it, yes. I did say hip thrust, yes.
Well, would you call that a release from the loin?
I do not use that word, but if that's what you want to...
Well, I'm using the word. Would you call that a proper word to use? Would you call it a proper word to use, yes or no?
Father, I want you to know that I respect you, but I don't let anybody, not even a priest, talk to me.
I'm not talking. I'm telling you, and I'm asking you.
I would say that that's a proper word to use.
All right. Now, when you talked to this woman Cassidy and you said to her that you saw the hippie, and I think you said you saw the hippie, and the police officer picked up the hippie by the hair. Did I hear you say that? Is that right?
I said yes. The police officer did.
All right. And the hippie was picked up by the hair. And the police officer drove the baton through the hippie. I hear you say that.
Yes, sir. Are you trying to make this dramatic so you look good and I look like scum?
I'd ask you right now to shut your mouth. What I'm trying to do now is repair the reputation of our school. Now, I have no problem with anything that you say because it's personal opinion. I do think the students need to go home, and yes, I do need, as you like to say, I think they should check this out with their parents.
I understand.
But I do not approve, nor would I ever approve, of a parent or a teacher describing the satisfaction you feel as a citizen when you see the hippie take the stick off the head to say, ah.
I never...
Oh, yes, you did. And Father Staley right now is laughing himself almost sick because... Isn't that what you heard, Staley? Are you listening to that?
Well, I don't know what's wrong with him.
There's nothing wrong with him. That's exactly what you did. You went on the phone And you said to all the Phil Henry listeners on the radio station now, you said you saw the hippie take the stick, and you went, ah, or something like that. And I don't approve of that. I think it sounds guttural, and I think it sounds hellacious. And I don't think it's in keeping with the standards of the faculty and the administration of Elba Academy. Hold it. You can shut it off now, Staley. Seriously. Because you're tightening my jaws. You can shut it up. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Father, I understand. I don't think there's any need for you to come on this program tonight and shut me down like I'm just... like I'm your...
Go ahead, you can say it.
Like I'm your yard bitch.
Well, tonight you're my bitch. If you want me to say it. Why don't you shut up? Tonight you're my bitch. Because tonight you disgrace Spellbar Academy in front of the parents, the teachers, and the class. You disgrace Belmar Academy to the ex-teachers and the ex-class and the alumni and all of the people that went there and got sick of it and quit and left. You disgrace this to all the people and all the children that might have even been fondled by the faculty.
So you do admit it. See, now I'm off the hook.
I'm not admitting anything on my part. No, sir, no, sir. And it's a disgrace that you... did what you did.
All right, I think we've got the idea, and I...
Well, listen, look at you trying to take over, huh?
He's been doing it all hour.
Well, I am taking over because it's my show. And I think we have the general idea, Father, and you got Father Staley there laughing his ass off. I don't know that anybody in the student body or any of the parents will take this seriously.
Well, I'm hoping that they will. And I will tell you something else. I'm dealing in the open, in the public here, with Mr. Dozier.
I feel like I'm a kid that's been standing here, some punk kid that's standing here with holding the jar of Vaseline. In other words, they said, hey, kid, you hold that because guess what? That's what I feel like.
Well, if you feel that way and you have a very disgusting way of putting things...
Boy, you sure do.
Then you brought it on yourself.
All right, hold the line here. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we are talking with Vernon Dozier and Father James McCorders from Belmar Academy over Mr. Dozier's description of his discussion he had with his class on Occupy Oakland and how the police finally broke it up and cleared the streets. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You're my yard bitch, all right?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police will be joining us next hour to discuss a young man who presents as a girl. This is the best way I can put it. He is a boy, and he has joined the Girl Scouts. We'll talk with Jay about that next hour. Our number 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Vernon Dozier and Father James McCorders from Belmar Academy. We're talking about how Mr. Dozier presented Occupy Oakland and the breaking up of that demonstration by Oakland police to his students. It turned into quite a contretemps. Father McCorders, how many parents complained about this?
Well, I feel I would be less than honest if I told you that we don't have, I think, a fair number of complaints on a fairly regular basis when it comes to the current affairs class that's taught by Mr. Dozier, but he has the complete confidence of the board and the rest of the faculty when he teaches these classes, because we do find him to be a very inventive teacher and very instructive teacher. But the reason why I'm on your program this evening is I felt that he had gone a bit too far in describing his own satisfaction as he saw the Oakland police lay into the demonstrators.
Now,
and another thing here, I'm not done yet, Mr. Dozier, so please. I'm not done yet, Mr. Dozier, so please, if you don't mind.
I'm not saying anything.
Well, I did hear you go, I heard some exclamatory noise.
I was scratching my leg. God.
Well, no, you were not scratching your leg, because I heard you go, it was a verbal noise.
All right, I think we've, Mr. Dozier, if you'll allow him.
Yeah, but I didn't say anything. I reached down to scratch my leg, and I went, something. I made an exclamation.
You have a habit of making exclamations when things happen, don't you?
Father?
You have a habit of making exclamations about things when things happen, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And when you saw the Oakland police cleaning all those hippies off the street, and yes, I understand they were using the street as a toilet, and yes, I understand that they were behaving and misbehaving, if you will, to the civic authorities of Oakland, and yes, I understand that the citizens and the shopkeepers and the other people didn't feel safe, and they felt that their property had been compromised. I understand all of this, but it doesn't give you the right. When you're talking to one of the parents, and you're expressing to the class your satisfaction at seeing the police act, it doesn't give you the right to go, almost like you're getting your cookies.
I did not. That's the second time someone said that to me, and I resent that. I did not go, like some...
Well, a moment ago, you said that you are my yard bitch, and I said, yes, you are. So that's how a yard bitch sounds.
So, Mr. Henry, you're a witness. You're saying now because I'm your bitch, I went,
pretty much.
You two guys really don't sound very adult now.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the way you're talking right now. It's got nothing to do with what happened in the classroom, nothing to do with the lesson that should have been taught the students, nothing to do with better communication with the parents. The two of you guys are arguing now over how a guy goes, when he's a yard bitch.
But I said he's my yard bitch because of what he done to our school. And it's gotten completely distorted now.
No, I think you distorted it.
No, both of you guys had a completely ridiculous conversation about something that shouldn't have been that tough. The Phil Henry Show, Jay Sandals next. Henry.